From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017. And on this day, advocates for the poor, environmental groups, and members of Congress respond to President Trump's budget proposal. And Maine Supreme Court says the ranked choice voting law that Mainers approved in November is unconstitutional. That and more ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the law offices of Joe Bornstein, dedicated to serving injured and disabled Mainers from Kittery to Caribou. JoeBornstein.com. And by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
First tonight, we found out today that state prison officials are preparing to release an unspecified number of prisoners at several facilities in Maine. This after an announcement today by Governor Paul LePage that he is commuting some sentences. LePage says he will commute the sentences, it's not clear how many, as part of an effort to, quote, modernize the state corrections department and promote fiscal responsibility. As A.J. Higgins reports, the action arrives just weeks before the governor plans to close the Downey's Correctional Facility in Bucks Harbor.
The governor's decision took legislators and corrections staff by surprise. Jim Mackey, a spokesman for the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Council 93 that represents Maine corrections officers, said no one really knows how many prisoners will be released early.
We know at this time a minimum of 8 from NCC. We've been hearing numbers as high as 20 from the Bolduc facility.
LePage's prisoner commutation order arrives on the heels of his decision to close the Downey's Correctional Facility in Washington County, where about 100 prisoners are held. Last week, 55 employees at the Downey's Prison and several at Long Creek Youth Center received layoff notices, and Mackey said the governor's decision to release prisoners before they completed their sentences will facilitate Downey's closure.
It would be one thing if these inmates were being released because they deserve to be released. These inmates are being released so the governor can close a facility, and that's what people have to understand. He snubbed his nose at the legislative process. There's already been a vote at criminal justice unanimously to fund that facility and keep it open. And he has snubbed his nose and basically said, I'll just get rid of the inmates and then the facility goes away.
Complicating the issue for LePage, Mackey said, is the state's corrections policy determining bed assignments across the system.
The problem the governor has is that there's 100 inmates at Downey's Corrections and they have to get them out of there. And our understanding from checking with our folks, that there are only 26 open beds in DOC.
Mackey says the department is preparing to release some prisoners as soon as tomorrow. Multiple calls and emails to the governor's office and the Maine Department of Corrections were not returned. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
And this is Maine Public Radio. The Maine Supreme Court issued an advisory opinion today that the state's new ranked choice voting law conflicts with the state constitution. Now, debate is growing over what happens next. Mal Leary has more.
In a 51-page opinion, the justices unanimously advised the legislature that the ranked choice voting law approved by voters last fall conflicts with the state constitution. The justices say the constitution clearly says that an election for the legislature or for governor is won by the candidate that gets the plurality of the votes in that contest. Under ranked choice voting, the final winner would eventually have to get at least half the vote. The court says the conflict can be resolved by rewording the Constitution, but that would take the approval of two-thirds of the legislature and the voters. Republican Senate President Mike Thibodeau doesn't see that happening.
Political reality. I doubt very much that there are the votes to pass a constitutional amendment. We all know that threshold is two-thirds.
But Democratic House Speaker Sarah Gideon, a supporter of ranked choice voting, isn't so sure that the votes are out of reach.
I don't know how he's counted votes yet on this, but I think the first thing we'll probably look at is there an option to send that constitutional amendment out?
Gideon says lawmakers must address the issue of the court's opinion before another election cycle gets underway. Complicating the issue is that the law passed by the voters applies to federal offices. So unless the state constitution is changed, Maine could have two voting systems in place for the next major election, one for state candidates and one for federal candidates. Thibodeau says lawmakers can't let that happen.
We can't have, folks going to the polls and voting in one regard, for state offices and another regard for federal offices. That would be too confusing.
Secretary of State Matt Dunlap says running two different election systems at the same time will be expensive and cumbersome.
We have estimated around $1.5 million to implement ranked choice voting. But we'd still have to run the traditional election, which is not without cost.
Dunlap says that amounts to another several $100,000. But supporters of the initiated law say the voters have spoken and that ranked choice voting for all Maine elections must be implemented. Former independent state senator Dick Woodbury has been one of the leaders of the ranked choice effort.
We should proceed ahead with the federal elections the way that the people suggested that they'd like the elections to be conducted, and go start the process of making it so it can happen for state elections so that all of our elections are that way.
And Kyle Bailey, who served as campaign manager for the effort, says lawmakers will be held accountable if they ignore the wishes of the people.
Nearly 400,000 Mainers voted yes on question 5, by the second largest referendum vote in the history of our state. We're going to hold our legislators accountable. We expect them to listen to the voices of Maine people and implement this law.
Legislative leaders must approve any new measures for consideration this late in the session, and Gideon hopes there'll be the votes to put forth a constitutional amendment. But she and other legislative supporters acknowledge that if it fails to get enough votes, they'll have to consider all options. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Advocates for the poor, environmental groups, and members of Congress were quick to attack President Trump's budget proposal, which was released in more detail today. Democrats and Republicans say the budget, which calls for deep cuts to Medicaid and food and housing programs, is dead on arrival. Susan Sharon has more.
Chris Hasted, the public policy director for Maine Equal Justice Partners, says the cuts to social welfare programs are unprecedented and cruel.
I mean, I think this budget proposal, as it's come forward, would make every economic and social problem in Maine and America gravely worse.
Over the next decade, funding for Medicaid would be slashed by $800 billion. Funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as food stamps, would be cut by $192 billion. Hasted points out that Maine already has the third worst rate of hunger in the nation. She says that would become worse under this budget. So would the ability to get health insurance coverage. And heating assistance through the program known as LIHEAP, that would be eliminated.
People throughout this state right now are scared to death. And this budget makes them fear they're going to lose the services that are just enabling them to hang on.
Independent Maine Senator Angus King released a statement saying the budget proposal will hammer thousands of people across Maine, including older, disabled, and lower-income people. Hard-working Maine people who pay taxes expect a government that works for them, King said, but they are the ones who will suffer when the tax cuts proposed in this budget directly benefit those who need it least.
This is the worst budget I've ever seen for Maine, for working families, for rural communities or senior citizens.
Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree says the depth of cuts to a wide range of important programs to Maine and the rest of the country means there will be a serious fight in Congress, particularly because President Trump wants to use the money to provide tax cuts and build a border wall.
He's going to keep going at this to get the money for the programs that he needs, and it's going to take money away from programs that benefit people in Maine.
Included in the proposal, a 30% cut to the Environmental Protection Agency, which Pingree says would result in the loss of $4 million in state cuts. Programs that deal with radon, lead, and beach protection would be eliminated. Funding for the National Estuary Program and coastal waterways would be cut, which means fewer protections for Casco Bay. Big cuts are also slated for the Department of the Interior. Tom Abello of the Nature Conservancy in Maine is worried about cuts to the Land and Water Conservation Fund.
What makes LWCF so special is that it helps towns and communities invest in things like ball fields and playgrounds, but it also helps communities invest in things like working forests and other big sort of conservation landscape areas. And so it's a really important program, not only for Maine, but across the nation.
Abello says Maine is fortunate to have a congressional delegation that understands and appreciates LWCF. He says he's hopeful there will be serious pushback to some of the proposed cuts. Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin released a statement saying he's evaluating how the budget affects families, veterans, and communities, but he raised a red flag about any drastic reductions to LWCF, Acadia National Park, the Healthy Beaches Program, and LIHEAP. And in a written statement, Republican Senator Susan Collins said, "The president's budget request is always subject to significant revision by Congress, and this budget will be no exception." For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
The University of Maine has approved an increase in tuition for in-state students for the first time in 6 years. That means for students who start in the fall, total costs will increase an average of just over $400 to about $17,500. University of Maine spokesman Dan DeMeritt says after years of deficits, the system has a balanced budget and the university is looking to strengthen its offerings.
We're looking to grow programs that have opportunity in the Maine workforce and keep more of our Maine students here in the state where they're on the best possible path to a career in Maine.
That includes programs like nursing to help deal with the shortage of medical professionals in the state. DeMeritt says the budget for financial aid will also increase by $8 million. The system plans to tie future tuition increases to the rate of inflation. Individual campuses will still be able to set their tuition rates for out-of-state students. On average, they pay a total of about $40,000. And a bill that would have allowed terminally ill patients to end their lives has failed to pass in the Maine legislature. Though the Death with Dignity legislation narrowly succeeded the Senate last week, the House voted against it today with a wide enough margin to end its chances. But as Patty White reports, supporters say they'll try again and may bypass the legislature.
In her work as a neurologist, Democratic Representative Patty Hymanson has seen patients face tough terminal diagnoses. She told her House colleagues Tuesday that she hears a common question.
So when you or a loved one faces the last 6 months of life, the question that you ask yourself, or I've heard people ask, is the enemy suffering or is the enemy death?
Everyone has the right to choose which option they'd like, says Hymanson, and that's what the Death with Dignity bill offers, she says. It would make it legal for terminally ill patients to get prescription medication to end their lives. The bill includes a number of safeguards, such as requirements that patients meet with a physician twice before receiving the prescription and must administer the medication themselves. But those safeguards don't get around what some lawmakers, like Republican Representative Beth Peliquin Turner, see as a more fundamental problem.
Our actions here today will send a message across the state about the value and dignity of all human life.
That message, says Turner, is that life is not valued. Republican Representative Deborah Sanderson agrees.
Enacting this bill could encourage people with years or decades to live, to throw away their lives instead of getting proper treatment.
Beyond shunning treatment, some lawmakers, like Republican Representative Stacey Garin, see the Death with Dignity bill as having more nefarious consequences.
Because it gives family members or caregivers more opportunities for abuse, creating an environment in which elderly people may feel pressure to opt for a lethal prescription rather than being a burden to others or their family.
But supporters of Death with Dignity say it's a carefully crafted law that prevents coercion and instead, says Democratic Representative Christopher Babbage, offers freedom.
Freedom to control one's own actions. That's what freedom really is.
The question of whether a patient should be able to choose to end their life has come before the Maine legislature a half dozen times since 1995. This year, the Maine Medical Association changed its stance from opposed to neutral. When Democratic Representative Dylan Bates urged lawmakers to support Death with Dignity, he cautioned them from pushing the matter into the future once more, because, he says, some Mainers are suffering now.
I believe it's really important that we address something to protect these families, to protect the memory of their loved ones, and to honor their final wishes if that is the route that they so choose.
But after an hour of debate, the House voted 85-61 against the bill. Republican Senator Roger Cates is the lead sponsor.
This is one of those areas I think our constituents may be out a little bit ahead of us as legislators, and we'll just have to see if Maine eventually might adopt this concept.
Cates will be termed out before he can sponsor the legislation again, and he hopes other lawmakers will make another attempt. But the executive director of the Maine organization, It's My Death, says she's lost confidence in state lawmakers and will look toward possibly bringing the issue to a voter referendum. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.